It's all very sad.
Very Merchant Ivory. How does it end?
That's the thing, it doesn't.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 5, Episode 19, 100 Light Years From Home. Oh, no. And now here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Tara.
Hello.
Hello, listeners. Thank you so much for being here. Let me just brief you on what's happening at the club before we get into this episode. This Friday, April 24th, it's Again With This, episode 285. Let's watch Josie Davis in Charles in Charge. That is season 5, episode 5. There's a girl in my ficus, sure, on the Roku channel. You really should join the Again With This Club. That's againwiththispodcast.com/club, where you can come to regret my choices along with me and Tara and Dave. As noted, we have almost 300 side quests. We have a pretty good time, usually. Not sure how this is going to turn out. So we'd love to have you come along. It really helps us make the podcast. So come on through.
Yes, please do. All right, let's get into this episode. Just one big mega plot I tried and failed to untangle. Spring break is a mixed bag. We open in Dawson's attic while he packs a bag. Joey's watching the 1983 movie Spring Break and sarcastically asks to get something straight. Dawson condescendingly asks why he feels a quasi-feminist rant coming on. And I don't have a ton of respect for Joey, but I don't think her feminism is quasi.
No.
Particularly not in this instance, as she summarizes that the event, spring break, is hunting season, Florida's the forest, and girls are the prey. I have not done it, but that feels accurate.
Yeah, 100%.
Dawson, no kind of feminist, whines that Joey is acting like the girls don't have a choice, and Joey agrees. If they don't want to hook up with the gorillas on offer, they can stay at home and study, which sounds pretty good to her. Dawson orders her to go to Florida and have fun, which she already seems determined not to do there. When she wilts, she then exposits about the big Hollywood meeting Dawson is missing Florida for, and he exposits back that it's not big or in Hollywood. It's in New York with the one and only agent who's shown an interest in the apparently still entitled movie that I guess he edited into enough shape since the last episode to want to send it to agents, or Oliver just did it behind his back. Unclear. Joey tries to buck him up by telling him what a big deal it is for him to have made this happen and how proud she is of him. She also calls him a golden god, even though she wasn't present for the almost famous conversation in the previous episode. Joey then muses that Mitch would really get a kick out of all this, weirdly calling him that instead of your dad. Dawson agrees, fondly imagining how Mitch would have tried to prepare him. Joey recaps, leave it to the professionals, that even though Dawson had an awful year, everything worked out for the best. All Dawson knows is that he came back from LA for a reason, and he often regrets how he treated Joey after Mitch's death. Joey, forever a doormat for Dawson, chirps that she never held it against him, adding this clip too.
I don't know. Sometimes I think it's better when we don't get to touch our dreams.
Do you really believe that?
I don't know. No, yes. I spend half the time wondering what might have been, and the other half thinking just as well.
Think we'll ever get it right?
Not in this lifetime.
How about the next one?
Oh, the one after that, when we're both cats. Okay, seriously? Good luck.
Hey, thank you. To have fun, okay? Remember the sunblock and bring me back a souvenir. Preferably something of the, you know, my soulmate went to Florida, all I got was this lousy t-shirt vibe.
Why are we back here? Why are they talking around what they're doing or not doing? If you guys want to hook up, fucking hook up. You're both single. What is happening?
I think it was for this set of visual aids, like they're having this conversation and there's this one frame where Vanderbeek is smiling and it's like back in season, whatever, 3 or mm-hmm. 4, that I was like, we haven't seen this many teeth ever when he came upon Gretchen Witter in yeah. the hardware store. Mm-hmm. He's finally at that like toothy phase with Joey, like, okay, it didn't work out with Jen, but like he got it in, he has some perspective. Everything he said to her about it hurting to look at her, whatever, mm-hmm. wrong phrasing, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Held up. I defended it at the time. And they're in a good place. This friendship seems sincere and not cluttered up with any weirdness, because now that they've both fucked, it's like, let's just be friends and not do that.
Yes.
But no, it's just going to be endless chess piece moving and the same shit from the beginning of the season where it's like, what are we doing? Like, why don't you ask the writers? Because they clearly don't know.
Yes.
We don't know what you were doing back then. No. Ugh.
Seriously. That said, I am putting this in the chat for our next t-shirt drop. My soulmate went to Florida and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
I think it needs to also be like the sort of 70s three-color rainbow with glitter, like iron-on style. I don't know if that's possible for us to do, but...
I don't think glitter, but rainbow perhaps.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean, though? The like
do, yeah, yeah.
Blue, yellow, and mm-hmm. brown, of quote, course. Rainbow that's like, why? Why are we doing this, Pantone?
After the credits, Dawson's driving Oliver to New York in such heavy silence that Oliver has to interrogate him about it, forcing Dawson into sharing by doing this, clip 3.
Dawson, we're on the highway. We're going to get a little bit of chicken.
Of course. A little bit what? What? Because I heard a little bit of chicken or possibly a little bit of dick in.
I heard dick in and then assumed that couldn't have been that, but mm-hmm. sometimes the sound mix is indifferent and they don't get second takes, as we know, so.
Mm-hmm. No, I turned on the captions and even they give up before the end of that verse. It's like there's no attempt to transcribe that.
I know.
Dawson admits he's thinking about Joey, but it's a very long story. Oliver says he's not going anywhere, which is all the encouragement it takes for Dawson to launch into what we experience as a bunch of clips of him and Joey in season 1 before Dawson knew she liked him. We transition out of the montage to Joey sitting on the supposed Florida sand in jeans with a book. When a frisbee lands near her, we see what's behind her, which is a chaotic spring break woohoo scene. Audrey way in the back of it, yelling to Joey from the balcony of a beach house until Pacey scoops her up and throws her on the bed, which he says is bigger than his room and very luxurious. So I guess he has a room now. He has an apartment, we hope. When Pacey says Audrey's parents, whose house this is, are wonderful, she jokes that she will tell them. Pacey then asks if they even know who he is. Audrey asks if his parents know who she is, which they don't, and hers don't know who he is either. Audrey tests the waters by asking what she would even tell them about him. Pacey jokes that she could say he's good in bed, but she's being stealth serious. Clip 4.
Really? What would you tell your parents about me?
Nothing.
Right.
Right. That's right, right?
Right, yes. Obviously.
Right, because correct me if I'm wrong, but the last thing the parents want to hear about is how much premarital sex their children are having.
Yeah, especially with some guy who's not even my boyfriend. Officially.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You both want the same thing. Just figure it out.
Yeah. Also, even if you're not going to be exclusive, there's zero reason Pacey would not have told her that his parents suck and he doesn't tell them anything about anything.
Yeah. Elsewhere, Jack is weirdly sitting on top of some kind of crappy patio overhang, wrapping up an apparently grave conversation on his cell phone. When he hangs up and drops down, he declines to participate in rock, paper, scissors for the waterbed suite, announcing that he's going to go get the necessary provisions. Joey wants yogurt, but apparently the only necessary provisions are beer and Jell-O. Jen would also like medicine to head off the cold she feels coming on, which isn't how cold medicine works, but we all succumb to that magical thinking. I hear mm-hmm. you. Just get NyQuil, knock yourself out. It's really all you need.
Yep.
Then Joey gets a cell phone call from Charlie, whom we see is on a payphone near some sand. She teases him about having taken 3 whole hours to check in, and after some flirting, he asks for her address. It's 359 No Way in Hell Avenue on the corner of Get Over It in Maine. She thought they agreed to take a break from the calls. He would be happy to if she just told him where she is, and she flirts that he's in his dreams and hangs up. More of the conceited Princess Saint Joey.
Yeah, also, this is not cute. This encourages stalking behavior. Hang up the next time you see the call on the display or any other one that you don't have in your contacts. Don't pick it up. Mm-hmm.
If you actually don't want to see him, but you do, so just tell him where you are.
Yeah, just tell him where you are or have phone sex with him or something. Yeah. Let's put a compress on this pimple so that it pops already. Get on with it.
Smash cut to Pacey, Joey, Jen, and Audrey sitting on the edge of the pool. It's apparently cold enough that Pacey is in chinos and a pullover windbreaker while Jen hugs her knees. So thoughts and prayers to all the extras who have to be in bikinis. Pacey comments that spring break isn't like the brochures. Audrey provided the house. The rest of them were supposed to bring the fun. Instead of going to the beach, which they are currently looking at, and which was clogged with people the last time we saw it, or next door, where we see a party underway when Jack comes out with a beer for Pacey, they talk about getting pizza and renting movies like it's any other night at Graham's house. Pacey suggests strip poker, which all three girls nix, even though, as Pacey notes, he's already seen them all naked. After Jen has let out her first harbinger of doom type sneeze, Joey sees a guy coming up some stairs from the beach and asks why she knows him. Jen identifies Chris Hartford, although it's spelled Hertford in the credits. Pacey jokes that the movie star he ordered has arrived, but then everyone freezes as they realize he's coming up to them and greeting Audrey by name, and he actually is famous. She keeps her face neutral to bored as she introduces Chris to her friends from college. This guy's played by Tack Fitzgerald, who is around in Black Hawk Down and other WB shows, but has not been on screen in almost 20 years. And his performance in this episode gives a good sense of why he is not good.
No, very pretty. Very pretty.
Yeah, he's cute, but he's not cute enough to override how bad he is at acting.
No, he sure isn't. He sure isn't. It's like Bobby Parisi levels of... of bad, but like not even enough to be charming. Fortunately, mm-hmm. he's like not around after this. So,
yep. Audrey and Chris went to high school together. He is there to go to a show MTV is putting on with a new band called M2M, Clip 5.
Yeah, Marie and Marianne from Norway. Marie's favorite food is chicken noodle soup, where Marianne prefers orange Fanta as her drink of choice.
What? Who is this? I can't with the new gen. So baffling.
And then Michelle Williams as a not substitute, but our esteemed colleague Adam has pointed out numerous times, like she's trying stuff. Mm-hmm. And even though it's Michelle Williams, a lot of it is really not working.
No.
And you have to think that the writers are just like, all right, we're just going to give her the pages. And whatever happens is just going to happen. We can't control this and refuse to try. So, yeah. Okay. I've seen season fives before. I know where we are.
Well, this goes back to the email in your interview with Tom Frost. Remind me. I'm sorry. I forgot her real name.
Rob Nagel.
Thank you. Your interview with Rob Nagel, where he read that email from her. Where she was saying, mm-hmm. like, she did a lot of stuff that she was embarrassed about in the show. And I don't think this is it. I really do think this is, as Adam said, like, her just trying different stuff to make it interesting for her as an acting mm-hmm. challenge. But
yeah.
Someone should have stopped her because it's not good.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the writing is not helping her. And I don't think she was, like, a problem on set.
No,
I think she's just sort of like, well, if you're going to flat iron my hair and dress me in head-to-toe Delias, including underpants and socks, mm-hmm. you kind of don't get to give me notes on whatever accent I'm trying to do. So no. IKEA Associate Vice President it is. Great.
It's crazy to think that at this point, Brokeback Mountain is, like, less than 2 years away for her.
Yeah.
Anyway. Back to the show. Chris has extra tickets to if they want to go. Audrey starts to say they just made plans, but the rest of them all fake cough until she gets the hint. Chris will lead the way, Jen asking if he's really dating Jennifer Love Hewitt. Pacey has questions for Audrey that Audrey heads off. She and Chris, she claims, were just friends, but when everyone else has gone, clip six.
It's Chris.
Chris is in...
The one. The one who I think of every time In Your Eyes comes on the radio. My perfect high school boyfriend who every other boy gets compared to and who no one's lived up to yet. Yeah, that's him. He's here. Kill me now.
Why did you tell Pacey he's just a friend?
I had to. Pacey and I are on the cusp of figuring out our whole
thing. And if he knew that Chris was the love of my young life, it would just get all kinds of confusing.
But lying to him will make it all better.
Hey, Mother Teresa, why don't you go take a smoke break and bring back my good friend Joey?
Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. What do you need?
I need to go throw up.
Oh, no, it'll be okay.
Okay.
No, it won't. Like, again, character assassination of Audrey. If he was so great, why'd you break up?
Mm-hmm.
Was it his idea? Then tell him to get off your property.
Yeah.
Why do your parents have a house here anyway?
Seriously, they live in Los Angeles. They have beaches there.
Yeah, go to Hawaii. Why is Joey even here? Don't you have a work-study job you need to be doing during spring break?
It's a great point. We haven't seen her have a job at all. That's crazy.
No. Getting on our nerves does not count.
When Audrey goes to change, Joey and her hideous denim Mormon-style maxi skirt get another flirty call from Charlie, who is updating her on his attempts to track her down. And I guess we can blame TV sound waves for her not hearing him speaking directly behind her as well as on the phone until he taps her on the shoulder.
So dumb.
It's the worst. After the commercial, Pacey's getting hit on by one of the MTM girlies and telling her he's with someone. She just has to go do something right now, which is get on stage and perform a song that I have zero memory of and which does not sound like the kind of thing college radio DJ Jen would be into or know about. It's fine, but it's very poppy. And this is the Jen we heard being like, music doesn't rock anymore or whatever that bullshit was.
Yeah. This eats clock, so I don't care what else it is.
Right in my notes. Pacey doesn't know who this vocalist is either, but I'm sure we'd both say good for her and the other M and thank them for taking up time in the episode.
Yeah.
Somewhere else, Joey's teasing Charlie about being a stalker. Ha ha, funny. She asks how he found her, and he's glad she asked, but then we're back by the pool. M2M is performing near it. Chris finds Audrey and tells her she looks great. She's very nervous, trying to wave him off, but he's been thinking about her a lot. She babbles that she's parched and might be dehydrating. He offers to get her a water, but she'll go, bumping into Pacey on her way. When she's gone, Chris gives Pacey an appraising look. Pacey can't help noticing and does not like, and he shouldn't. It's very territorial.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Charlie, who tells Joey a needlessly long story about cold calling every Liddell in Beverly Hills, claiming Audrey took his class notes, asking for her number at the beach house, and then reverse 411-ing that to get the address. I would think the hole in the story would be that Audrey's richy-rich parents don't have a listed phone number, but in fact it is that Audrey's parents are in Europe. Charlie immediately admits that Pacey told him where they were. Joey's actually impressed he dared to ask Pacey about Joey after their terrible road trip 2 episodes ago. Charlie's annoyed to have put so much effort into the story for no reason. Joey teases him for still not knowing the merits of honesty and then starts wandering off because all that still doesn't mean she's going to hang out with him. And again, no one who was that flirty on the phone would want to get rid of him. Like, make up your mind, dummy. This is what you want. Stop making him chase you. He chased you to fucking Florida.
And not for nothing, everyone's outside, entangled in their own bullshit. Find one of the 17 empty bedrooms in Liddell House South and get to fucking. Please decide that this is what you want. Get it and free us. Please.
Honestly. Ugh. Spoiler, not this episode. In the can, which I guess we're supposed to think is public at the hotel where the show is, as if any establishment would have a glass anything out on the countertop during spring break. Seriously, you can go to the visual aids. They have a big, like, a bowl that's for, you know, decorative fake lemons or something, but it's, like, just out on the countertop with various other, like, assorted toiletries. Like, I know some public bathrooms have, like, deodorant or dental floss and stuff. But this is, it just looks like someone's hotel room, not a public bathroom.
Yeah.
Whatever. Pacey thanks Chris for the tickets. When Chris asks, Pacey says he knows Audrey pretty well, whereupon Chris starts talking up how great she is. Amused, Pacey asks if Chris had a little crush on her, and Chris is like, well, we dated for 2 years. And Pacey shame jokes that the crush worked out, but Chris is relieved. He was trying to figure out what Pacey and Audrey's status was, but if she didn't tell Pacey about Chris, he's happy she's available because he's been thinking about how much he missed her. Pacey takes off before he can ruin his own life any further. And outside, Charlie is bragging about his band to hit on then MTV VJ Hillary Burton, playing herself long before she and Chad Michael Murray were Peyton and Lucas, eventual spouses,
hey,
on One Tree Hill. I know, she's your fave.
She is.
Joey shows up behind Hillary and tells Charlie not to be ashamed of his success. Hillary doesn't know who he is, and when Joey whispers in her ear, Hillary takes another look at Charlie and thanks Joey for telling her she can see it now and probably would have hooked up with him if she hadn't known. When Hillary takes off, Joey tells Charlie she told him he was the littlest boy from Hanson all grown up, which Charlie should take as a compliment since they were deeper than people realized. I think that would make Charlie like 15 at this point, but yeah. Still, not bad. And then we've arrived at another clips package, the It Hurts to Be Around You monologue from Pacey's Terrible Dinner Party, over a dozen or more shots of Joey and Dawson fighting over the years. Back in the Jeep, Oliver's crying a little at the story he calls very Merchant Ivory. He asks Dawson how it ends. Dawson says it doesn't. How would Dawson in his heart of hearts want it to end? Dawson just wants Joey to be happy. Oliver calls that boring. True. Mm-hmm. And fair. Says it should end tragically. Clip 7.
10 years from now, she passes you on the street. You're penniless and pathetic. And you run after her, but she thinks you're just some crazy bum. And then, just as you're crossing the street,
you get hit by a bus. You definitely have a problem with endings.
I don't know.
That was a good line, Dawson.
Oliver somehow demands more. Fortunately, we don't have to see it. And back in Florida, it's dark out, so I guess alleged new artists M2M have just played their entire album 6 times, but now it's Joey's turn to talk to a VJ. This is Brian McFadden, who is in the middle of promising to hook her up with concert tickets the next time she's in New York when Charlie joins them, asking if this guy's bothering her. Joey's about to use her Hanson gag again, but Charlie cuts her off just as we see Jen a few feet away, possibly already logy from her cold medicine and squinting at Joey and Charlie, obviously flirting, across this poor VJ until Charlie gets rid of him. And then Jack runs up to Jen, demanding that she woot woot he's entering them in a raffle to win 2 weeks in a timeshare, but she's too busy coughing without covering her mouth to celebrate. And elsewhere on the resort property, Pacey and Audrey are in the middle of arguing about Chris. Audrey saying she lied to try to avoid the exact fight they're currently having, assuming that he would interrogate her about how long they were together, how many times they had sex, if he was better than Pacey, etc. Pacey can tell by how downcast she looks that there's more to this than she's saying. Clip 8.
God, what more do you want to know? Yes, Chris and I dated. Yes, I loved him. He was like my Dawson, okay? Breaking up with him was like the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And every once in a while, I wonder if I made the wrong decision. Is that what you wanted to hear?
Yes, that's exactly what I wanted to hear.
So, God, what? Are you mad at me now?
No, I'm not mad at all. Why would I be mad?
Okay, well, you're freaking me out.
Why? This was supposed to be fun. Remember, Audrey? No strings attached. Lying is for people who are in serious relationships, and you and I were never that serious.
No. You're absolutely right.
I will give the credit for one thing. When she says he was my Dawson, they cut back to Joshua Jackson, and he does this long blink like, of course.
Oh, he's like, yeah, you know what? Nope. Not fucking doing this again.
Mm-hmm. It's well done.
Ugh, brutal.
Walking on the beach the next morning, Pacey's just finished telling Joey what happened the previous night and how he is protecting himself. He has learned not to be in a love triangle, going hard after the girl and ending up alone anyway, and he's not making the same mistake twice. Audrey saying Chris was her Dawson is his personal kryptonite. Joey says she has a Dawson and she's not with him now. Chris is part of Audrey's past. But Pacey has learned that Dawson isn't past tense with ladies. If anything, he's the past, present, and future. So what Pacey's looking for is a woman with no soulmate and smallish feet. All right. Guess now fair. We know that about you.
Mm-hmm.
Joey says he wants Audrey, but Pacey curtly says that's not going to happen. Joey says Audrey wants him too. They just need to see what happens once they both admit it. And this is when Charlie goes by in a wetsuit, I guess, having learned to surf in his central Illinois hometown. Pacey asks if Joey takes her own advice. Joey denies that she likes Charlie, but Pacey points to her blushing, flirting, and singing. Joey admits that she likes Charlie a little, but just in a fun way, not for a serious future. But Pacey's only talking about right now. Charlie came all the way here to see her and called her intimidating ex-boyfriend to find out where she was, which takes guts. Joey says he could just be an idiot, and Pacey says she should go find out. She assaults us all with more absolutely insufferable tongue acting before agreeing. And then we're in another clip package, this one with Joey's entirely opaque speech to Dawson just before he decided not to get on the plane back to USC, over clips of them being variously happy and miserable together. And in the present, Dawson and Oliver are at a gas station, the latter asking the former if he's thinking of taking the car to Florida. Dawson denies it, but not very forcefully, asking what there is to say at this point. Oliver says Dawson talks about Joey like the sun rises and sets with her, and Dawson agrees that it does, so clip 9.
So then why don't you hang her balls out there and tell her that?
No.
No.
Don't do either of those things.
No. Do not hang brain. Do not make me think about you hanging brain. Also, I feel like that might have been ADR'd, but like, ironically, since when they're shot in Dawson's actual car, the road behind them does actually look like Route 6 on the Cape. Like, I didn't think it was rear projected or anything. They just picked a stretch of Carolina road that looked like it. If you're coming from Boston, you're going through New York to get to Florida, probably. Right. So why don't you just go to the meeting, take the meeting, and then drive to Florida?
But they don't.
Spend some of your Mitch Social Security death benefit on plane ticket, like everyone else does.
Spend some of your Mr. Brooks inheritance on it.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's why Joey's not working.
That's true. Could be. Anyway, Dawson doesn't think he has the right to tell Joey anything. He pushed her away and she moved on. She's like, yes, live in that feeling. Stay there forever. Don't move. Oliver says she might have, but until they have the conversation, Dawson won't know. They can reschedule the meeting. Missions like this are how you achieve true greatness. Dawson does his dumb little giggle and asks which way to Florida, in which Joey is finding Charlie practicing his stance with his surfboard on top of some kind of stand, boringly teasing him that most people surf in the water. This touches off a montage of Joey and Charlie flirting on the beach, Dawson and Oliver driving south, Jen in her pajamas coughing on the deck, Audrey back in yesterday's outfit looking for Pacey from the balcony, Chris in yesterday's outfit standing alone, Jen surrounded by used Kleenexes in bed, who among us, Jack making his coffee Irish, and Charlie chasing Joey. And we finally end back on the deck, Jen commenting to Jack that he sure partied hard last night. Jack had a blast, he thinks, since Jen put him to bed after he passed out. She's got questions. Jack preemptively tells her not to give him a PSA about undergrad drinking, but she's just wondering if, as it seems, he is drinking to forget something. Is there anything he wants to talk about? He just stalks off, claiming he's fine. And then Joey's wandering into the kitchen, seeing Jen with tea and asking if she's still sick. Jen claims she's fine, and then notices that Joey looks glowy. Joey says she surfed, kind of. Jen guesses Audrey taught her, but Joey says it was Charlie. Jen is visibly dismayed to find out they spent the day together, so Joey asks if that's okay with her. It is, but clip 10.
I just don't know why you'd want to waste your time, Joe.
Well, it is my time, and anyway, he makes me laugh sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that's how he reels you in. Trust me, okay? I've been there.
You know what? I think I'm going to go with my instincts on this one, but thank you.
Well, Joey, what are your instincts telling you?
Well, for starters, they're telling me that you're probably not the best person to advise me in this particular situation.
Look, I don't want to see you get hurt by him. That's all.
Come on, Jen. It's not like you've ever had my feelings in mind before. I mean, what were your instincts telling you when you slept with Dawson?
Look, I knew that that was going to be an issue, okay?
But you went ahead with it anyway. And I didn't say anything, so why don't you have the same courtesy for me right now?
Okay, fine, fine. If he really means that much to
you. I don't even know what he means to me yet. But what does he mean to you?
Nothing.
So why do you care so much?
You left your keys at the beach.
Okay, bro. I mean, I actually think this fight is kind of fair. Like, the two of them are not really particularly great friends. Like, they're in each other's lives, but they don't really confide in each other like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I also think it would be fair for Jen to say, like, well, he kind of fucked me over. Like, it's shitty that, you know, even if we're friendly, I don't love you hanging out with him. It makes me feel bad.
Yeah.
And if the show is not willing to just let Joey have him be a fuck buddy for a few episodes and then go on his way, which it isn't, because retrograde ideas about who gets fuck.
Of course.
It's like, okay, well, then I guess they have to have this fight. But the show thinks that Joey is making excellent points, which, like, she's not making bad points, but she's also being kind of a C about it with the tone.
Yeah.
Like, first and foremost, him.
Yeah, he's not that worth it.
He's a fucking land anemone with a choker on. No. Next.
Jen says she's going to go back to bed since she's not feeling, as she puts it, good. Joey asks Charlie to take her anywhere but here. And then Audrey's looking out at the water when Chris creeps up behind her and puts his arm around her, saying he missed her freckles. Audrey doesn't know why he's interested in her freckles when, as a movie star in training, he could have any freckle he wants. Chris asks her not to say that, even if she thinks it. I'm not sure which part he is bothered by, but she agrees. He tells her he wonders what would have happened if he had followed her to Boston. Audrey says they're not the same as they were in high school. Chris doesn't think she seems that different. She's just a little sad. She says she'll be fine. And it's around here that we see Pacey come into the room behind them and watch as Chris puts his hand on Audrey's waist and says he wishes they were still in high school where things were different. She knows what he means. And they start kissing and we cut to Pacey, whose eyes go dead before he snorts at the two shitty carnations he got Audrey and walks out, missing Audrey turning away from Chris but letting him keep holding her. On the beach, where Joey's getting sand all over one of Audrey's parents' chenille blankets, Charlie is having a hard time putting up the tent he bought on the assumption that Joey would not let him sleep with her. This is his second night in Florida, so I'm not sure how he's forgotten to put it up since yesterday. I don't know, mega day? Unclear.
Yeah. Did you drive down here? Sleep in the car.
He was on his motorcycle.
Oh, right. What a dork.
Sleep on your motorcycle.
Yeah, sleep under your motorcycle.
He sits and tells Joey she looks really beautiful tonight and then leans in to kiss her even though she looks like she's about to cry. When she turns away, he asks if he did something wrong. Joey doesn't know why she's even there. She barely knows Charlie and what she knows for a fact is all bad. Charlie reminds her that they had a great day and the only reason she's questioning it is what he did to Jen. He did something shitty, he regrets, but that's not all he is. Hasn't Joey ever hurt anyone? Strikes her dumb for 25 full seconds, I guess, because at this point they weren't sure if that was going to be a cue for another clips package. That's my best guess.
Yeah, I think he solved it.
And then finally, Joey reaches for Charlie's literal tent poles and offers to help him pitch a literal tent. And then Dawson is parking in front of the beach house, Oliver snoring in the passenger seat. As Dawson walks up, he hears Jack yelling his name from back up on the beams where he took the phone call before, standing unsteadily and waving his arms as he says he can fly. Dawson weirdly is amused at first, but then seems to understand the situation and tries to stay casual sounding as he asks Jack to get down. Jack agrees, gathers his strength for a moment, holds his hands out crucifix style, and then his unconvincing stunt double, which you can see in the visual aids.
Oh, Bruno.
Falls straight forward three stories down into the pool, making it there and not the pool deck by inches from what we can see. We watch Jack sink down and Dawson leap in to pull him out. And sometime later, Jack is wrapped in a blanket on the deck when Dawson comes up from the house with dry clothes. Now very much sober, Jack tells Dawson he messed up. Not getting it, Dawson says it's okay, but Jack asks if Dawson ever wishes he could rewind his life, which, of course, Dawson does all the time. Jack would go back to right after their high school graduation. He thought he was doing well in college, meeting new people and trying new things, but it got too hard, and now he's failing out of school. He has to ace all his finals to pass the year, including classes where he hasn't done half the reading. Dawson says everyone will help him however they can, but Jack sneers that it's just something they say, like when Dawson's dad dies, but it's okay, his friends will all help him through it. Dawson's like, they did? Jack whimpers that he just called Toby to say hi and found out he has a new boyfriend, crying that they seem so happy. And how is Jack supposed to fix his life if he doesn't even know where he went wrong? And why can't he start over? I mean, I think he'll be starting over your freshman year pretty soon, so... he's on that, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe go to the registrar and see what options are available to you.
Perhaps. I mean, it's halfway through the semester. Try to get some of your money back.
there's summer classes.
There are.
But okay, fine.
Over to the hotel, Pacey finds Audrey sitting on the catwalk over the pool, watching the roadies languidly pack up the stage. And after some banter, she gets up to confess, but he cuts her off to say he already knows she kissed Chris, joking that he hired a couple PIs to tail her and take photos. Audrey mumbles that going to all that trouble would suggest that Pacey cares, and he agrees. If he does, they can't keep going down the road they've been on. She wants to be Pacey's girlfriend in an official and non-casual way, and she wants him to want the same thing. And he's like, I do. He's wanted to say so all day. He didn't say so sooner because he was just waiting for his moment. And he formally asks her to be his girlfriend, and she says she'd love to. And they kiss, and even though I think we were all expecting her to fall off her platform wedges into the pool or for Pacey to pull them both in, neither of those things occur. They're just on a pool and no hijinks ensue.
Great.
The next morning, Pacey's only faintly surprised to see Dawson sitting at the kitchen table. Pacey guesses Dawson's there to find Joey and sincerely tells him that if he intends to rekindle his thing with her, it's a bad idea. Dawson's on no sleep and 26 hours of driving, but Pacey really means it. Clip 11.
You gotta give that thing up. That thing that you guys do to each other, the heroes of bad time, you have got to give that up. It's over.
No, it's not.
But it could be. It should be.
It should be. You deserve for it to be over, is A. B,
yes.
Hear what Pacey is saying to you.
Well, he doesn't quite yet. He says he's going to keep coming back till there's nothing more to come back for. Clip 12.
I suppose I was to tell you there's nothing right now.
Believe me, Pacer, sometimes I wish that was the case. But it's not. I can feel it. I know you don't believe in any of this, and that's fine. You're the cynic, I'm the idealist. That's how we work, I guess. But when I feel something this strong pulling me, I have to act on it. It's the only thing I know how to do. So can you just tell me where she is?
She's with Charlie Dawson.
I mean, silver lining. This is nice acting from both of them.
I agree. Dawson takes this news with one dry huff of dismay. And then we're in Charlie's tent. Both he and Joey are fully clothed and lying as far apart as the space allows. She asks for her socks and he reaches out to her suitcase because they set up the tent in her room where she's apparently been boring him for hours. Clip 13.
So, where were we?
Seventh grade. The crimping iron incident.
Ooh, that's a good one. You're going to like this story. Do you want a break?
From you? Never.
You're good with the one-liners. Almost too good.
Too good?
Uh-huh.
Mm-mm. Are you kidding me? Look, I have been lying here right next to you all night, and I still have not given you a proper kiss. Man, I must have lost my touch.
I don't think so.
You don't?
That's when Joey finally gets over herself and kisses Charlie, and it's almost too healthy. Sarah's defeated.
Just their scenes together are like from a Galaxy Quest dialogue generator for the show. Like, according to the historical documents, this is flirty talk. Like, but then you look at the lines and it's like, this either says nothing or doesn't make any sense or doesn't apply to anything that we've seen these characters do in previous episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I just hate it.
Yep. At the other end of the mental wellness spectrum is Dawson, standing on the beach looking at the ocean and pondering what save point he needs to rewind to in order to get his life back on track. Or so I assume, because he really just stands there. And that's the end of the episode. Let's name our MVP. M2M. They've really got a lot of screen time. Good for them.
I'm going to say Pacey, because
across a couple of different areas of the story. He was very well acted, as always, by Josh Jackson. And because finally, like, Pacey just sort of like stuck the landing, didn't let self-loathing take over, and he and Audrey both got what they wanted. So, yay.
Yeah, good point. Least valuable player.
Oliver, why'd you do this to, I can't believe I'm saying this. Why'd you have to do Dawson like that? It's like, this could have been avoided. Shut it.
It's true. Also, he's very casual about like, we'll just reschedule our meeting. Like, I don't necessarily think you can assume the one agent that was interested in your shit is going to give you a second chance. Like, sending a pretty strong message that you don't care about this, I assume, guy's time. If you're going to blow it off
also,
like that.
Also, that quote meeting was probably a PETA conference from one dirty water dog cart to the guy's office. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Tack Worthington or whatever the kid's name is who played Chris because he was really bad.
Worthington. Strap Worthbillion.
Tack Fitzgerald. That was close.
Next time on Again With This, it's end of season chess piece moving time. Again, some more. As Charlie gets a tour offer, Dawson dumps Oliver, Pacey gets promoted, and another Twin Peaks alum is here to wreak havoc with the Capeside gang. If you'd like to wreak havoc on your retinae, our visual aids are here for you. We grab the most important screenshots and GIFs for every episode of the podcast. They are all on our website, againwiththispodcast.com. That's where all our archives live as well, not to mention David T. Cole's extremely hard work, so please come by. I am Drink of Choice, Sarah D. Bunting. I am on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Almost Famous Homage, Tara Ariano. She is on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, definitely has no problem with endings. Talk to you next time.
Diarrhea feeling.
Take it all back. Fuck that guy. Woo! We did it.